we had a powerful move of the Lord, and God began to talk to me about some things down there, and inevitably I knew that the microphone was going to get handed to me at some point, and I thought, yep, this is, I'm supposed to talk about this today, and then the microphone got handed to me, and it was like the Holy Ghost just like went a different direction, and we went off for a while and talking about peace, and the Lord began to reveal things to me about my own life while I was ministering about peace in my own life. And I'd minister to myself for 25, 30 minutes. But I can't get away from these scriptures and the things that I'm going to, I believe with the help of God, talk about tonight for just a few minutes. And this isn't, as you know, if you've been here for a while, there's no systematic approach to teaching in Life Church. There's not really a systematic approach. And so this isn't part of something that, well, it's the beginning of the year or it's the middle of the year or this, we really need to, you know, we don't get together as a group and say, well, we really need a series on love right now or we really need a series on this right now. We probably need some series right now, but. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer and what prayer means, what prayer is. Brother Heiner really opened the door to this last week, and I have not got it out of my spirit since he talked about it. And I went into Kent on Sunday. The Lord talked to me about this all the way there, and all the way through that service, Brother Miko got up and he started talking about prayer, and he started talking about things, and the Lord just confirmed me all the things that I was feeling. And maybe that's because it's for tonight. I don't know. I want to take a moment and share a couple of personal experiences. I believe that God, I hope that you understand that when I share things of my experiences, I never come feeling like this is what I'm going to share of my life tonight. The Lord simply brings things about in the moment, and if I feel a release to share them, I share them. So if you think, man, you just comes up with all these stories about himself and shares them, that's not the case. But I feel like, and I tell you what, some of my favorite moments in ministry and receiving ministry is when there's individuals, and there's been many times many people in this room who you've taken the mic and begin to share your personal testimony and the things that God has allowed you to go through, the things that God's brought you through. It gives me strength. It gives me faith. It helps me. I've so many times, going back a couple of years ago when I was really wrestling with some things personally in my career and job, and Brother Kendrick would get up here on a Wednesday night and he would just bare his soul of his struggles and the things that were going on in his job, and I'd go to him afterwards and say, you probably weren't talking to anybody else in the room tonight, but you were ministering to me from his personal experience. And I believe that the Holy Ghost allows each of us to go through things. The scripture says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If you've gone through something tonight, it's to help somebody else. I'll say that again. If you've gone through something tonight, it's to help somebody else. God didn't use that. I mean, it's amazing to me how many times I sit down with somebody and begin to just share in fellowship or talk and talk about life. And it's like, have you been hanging out at my house? I didn't think I knew you that long. How do you know so much about me? And it's amazing how God, you realize that God brings things about in your life for certain individuals he's going to bring you in contact with down the road. I was raised in church, as many of you know. My dad was a pastor. My dad is still a pastor until Saturday night, and then he won't be pastoring any longer. 35 years of pastoring. Great man of God, powerful man of God. And the dimension that he took us to in ministry, and the first 25 years of my life from birth to the time that God took me, called me away from that situation and began to establish our ministry in other places. He poured into my life teaching the Word of God. And in that 25 years, there were things and understandings from the Scripture with regard to prayer that I never had any exposure to. And I will say this, through that period of time, there were many powerful men of God and many men of God that I still hold in high regard today who passed through there and ministered and even had one-on-one contact with and different things that just never, I don't even know why or if it was a timing thing. I've talked a little bit about that before and the importance of timing in our lives, but it was though those things they weren't exposed to me. I didn't have exposure to them. And so the foundation of my prayer life was primarily and almost solely from a place of understanding, a place of praying with my understanding. Paul talks about that in the book of 1 Corinthians when he says that I will pray in the Spirit, I will pray with my understanding. My primary seasons of prayer, when I did pray, if I did pray, were from a place of understanding. The challenge with praying from a place of understanding is that my understanding is very limited, very limited. I feel like I have a halfway decent vocabulary. I have a very, very limited grasp of the English language. I don't speak proper English most times. I grew up in the country. I still listen sometimes. I love my mom and dad, but I still listen to them talk sometimes, and I think, Lord, have mercy. I remember the first office job I had, and I was sitting in that office and talking. They'd be like, they literally would look at me like, you were the dumbest person I've ever met. And I'm like, what did I say? You don't talk that way. You don't write that way. And God has been merciful and gracious to me. And so I have a very limited grasp of the English language. I say words wrong. I use them in the wrong context at times. And so I say that to say that when I'm praying primarily from my understanding, when I say my understanding, what I can conjure up, it's very, very limited. I made mention, reference to last Wednesday night, to people that I've been around and rubbed shoulders with, and having gone to a Bible college, I was around a couple hundred kids every day, and we had a 7 a.m. prayer meeting twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we would meet in the chapel 7 o'clock in the morning, and we would pray. And there were kids who were, they just had this grasp of the English language that I didn't. They were orators, and they could lay there on the floor, and they could just talk for hours, and they'd just say all these fancy things, and they'd quote, requote the King James Version, and it was like, oh, my goodness. And to be honest with you, I felt inadequate a lot of times. Even at times felt embarrassed to even pray out loud. I mean, I don't want somebody to hear me. If I pray out loud, then they'll know how inadequate my prayer is. Boy, and don't ask somebody to pray publicly like, hey, would you pray over the food tonight? Jesus' name, hallelujah, praise God. Let's bless it, Lord, amen. You know, we struggle with those things. When I was 4 years old, somebody was praying with me. A group of people were praying with me. And I was told by those that were praying with me that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I don't remember anything about that night. Nothing. Here's the challenge with that. Beyond the obvious. If you don't remember how you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then how do you know how to go back there and let that be renewed in you? The Scripture says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Does a river describe a one-time experience to you? No. A river describes a constant flow. The Puyallup River right now I haven't checked it in a few days, but it's been pretty high the last couple weeks. I'm sure by the end of the weekend, it's probably going to be pretty high again. There's a constant flow in that river, and I can drive over a bridge, or I can walk up to the banks of that river, and I can step in and out of that river anytime I want because there's always a flow there. I don't have to wonder if I drive over the bridge on 512 or on over here by Fred Meyer. I don't have to look and say, is there any water in the river today? No, it's an automatic. And that's the analogy that the scripture uses to describe the flow of the Spirit of God out of our lives, that it would be a river. Out of your belly shall flow, not river, rivers, multiple of living water. Doesn't sound like a one-time experience to me. But if I'm not sure how to get there, if I'm not sure how to let the river flow out of me, or how it even happened the first time. I've said this here before. If you haven't heard it, if you've heard it, God bless you. If you haven't, it's new to you. Between the time I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then my first memory of praying with people who received the Holy Ghost, from that point until about the age of 27 years old, let's just call it 17 years. Not a single person I ever prayed with received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I prayed with a lot of them. There was a man that came to our church. My dad and I taught him Bible study. He was a neighbor across the street from us. He lived there for 16 years, 20 years, across the street from my parents. And one day he called my dad and said, I'm having a heart attack. My dad says, you should call 911. He says, no, I'm calling you. My dad says, well, then I'll call 911. My dad called 911, walked across the street, laid hands on this guy while he was laying in the floor having a heart attack. They took him to the hospital. They said, there's signs you've had a heart attack, but you're fine. Everything's good. You're testing out great. God had miraculously healed him. And so obviously we said, you need to come to church. And he goes, I don't do crowds. Well, you should come to church anyway. And he came to church, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks later that we baptized him in Jesus' name. And he prayed for the Holy Ghost for about 5 more years. I look back on that. That wasn't his fault. That was my fault. I was trying to lead somebody to a place that I didn't even know how to get to myself. I was trying to help him to have a spiritual experience that I wasn't even sure. I can't even tell you. You know, we talk about this praying through. You know, we need to pray him through. What's that term? What's that mean? I mean, I can see it today. Let me give you a 2020 revelation. Praying somebody through, somebody backslides, walks away from God. They're gone for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. They come back to God. They walk into the door for the first time. Somebody lays hands on them. They begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. They just pray through.
Shouldn't have to pray through every Sunday.
Right? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I ought to be able to any hour of the day, any time of my life, to step into that flow. Whether it's out loud by myself in the car, or whether it's behind my desk in my office when I just, the pressures of life begin to overwhelm me and I just, thank you, Father, for your strength. It's a river. I can step in and out of it anytime I want. 17 years, nobody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I prayed for them. Many, many people. Because I had this understanding that God, first of all, let me say this before we move on. In Pentecost, we've made everything an emotional thing. Now, I get emotional sometimes. I do. I don't mind getting emotional. I am not ashamed to get emotional. I am not ashamed to let the Holy Ghost move through me. I'm not ashamed to jump a little bit. I'm not even ashamed if I feel inspired to run around here. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of motion. You watch a football game with me, I'll probably get a little emotional. I'm not going to get any more emotional over a football game than I'm going to get in here, though. You won't ever say, wow, man, I've never seen him move like that. I've been around people like that. You watch them in a football game, you're like, Lord have mercy. You watch them on Sunday, you're like, hello? Hello? Are you alive? Somebody, CPR. Something wrong with that. But in Pentecost, somehow we've created this atmosphere, or we've created this idea that the Spirit of God is an emotional thing, that it's strictly emotion, and it's based on what I feel. And I had a guy one time wave me down on the altar. This was a long time ago. It wasn't even in this building. Wave me down on the altar. He says, lay hands on me and pray for me. And I said, why? What do you need? And he goes, I just want to feel those goosebump things. I was stunned. Jesus, give him the goosebump things. Hallelujah. He wanted the emotion. He needed to feel something. You know, sometimes I pray and I don't feel anything. Sometimes I pray and I'm like, hello? Hello? He's still listening. Sometimes I go weeks and months. Sometimes I get up here and I'll say, I got the microphone for an hour and I say all kinds of things I feel like the Holy Ghost told me to say and I don't feel anything. And you come up to me afterwards, you're like, man, that was the most powerful thing I've ever heard. Well, glad you felt something because I wasn't feeling anything. And if I reacted off a feeling, I'd put the microphone on the pulpit and I'd walk away and I'd go home tonight. Stop at McDonald's and get an ice cream on the way home so I can feel the cold because there's no feeling the emotion. But there we get so tied up in emotion and, that was powerful. Did you see how the Spirit of God rested them? I've been in moments like that. There was a witness. I've seen people fall out under the power of God. Well, I got a witness. I've seen people fall out under the power of God. I've seen people arrested by the power of God. I've seen come under the power of God and run and shout. And there was a witness. I've seen other people that, I don't know what they were doing. I've known people that everything was so tied to emotion for them. They were so emotional about everything. And the minute it became about that still small voice, and the moment it was just time to wait on the Lord, the time that we need to just wait to hear the voice of God. Boy, they got uncomfortable. They didn't want to be around anymore. Come on, we need some more owl running around here. Somebody needs to dance. Well, maybe. If the Lord tells you to, do it. Bishop led a march around here a couple weeks ago. Lord tells you to do it, do it. We become so tied to the emotional aspect. And from that understanding, I mean, I had people tell me as a young man, you know, you need to create an atmosphere where people can get the Holy Ghost. You need to get the right songs playing. Get somebody on the piano singing the right songs of the Holy Ghost. I believed that stuff for a long time. I was saying, I'm sorry if that's uncomfortable for you. That was reality. It was about emotion. And if you could get people in the right emotional state, maybe you could get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what I was going to say before we went off on this rabbit trail. If it's strictly emotional, then it's from a place of waiting for God to come down and overtake you. And this was my personal understanding. When I would begin to pray, I was waiting for God just to come down and overtake me. And, you know, and you see these people that are just, you know, they're just like begging God, God, give me the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, touch me. Oh, Lord, I want to. And they're trying to get to this place of praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues or whatever it is that you want to describe it as. But they're just seeking, and they can't get there because there's this roadblock of them waiting on God to just come down and whoo. Well, we know that that's not the case. God doesn't come down and take over anybody. It takes me yielding. I know I'm not crazy, because over the last 10 or 15 years, as I've begun to pray with more people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I begin to talk to people, and I begin to ask people on the altar, what's going on? What are you feeling right now? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. Well, what are you waiting on? Well, I'm waiting on God to... No. What you're feeling is the Holy Ghost. I'm confirming that. You need to give way to it. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The scripture says that the river's coming out of me. If I stop it up, well, how do I stop it up? I stop it up by not giving way to the flow. If I stop it up, then it just lies there dormant and stagnant. And I've stood in altars, and I've watched people that were so passionate about God, and I've watched tears roll down their face, and I've watched them beg and cry and sweat and plead and just make themselves a wreck waiting on God to do something or to give them the Holy Ghost or whatever it was, and all they had to do was yield to it. I told you all that because that I realized when God began to talk to me about those things and show me those things back in 2007, I realized that that was directly connected to my prayer life. You see, prior to 2005, I never had a liberty to pray in the Spirit. I was raised in a church where nobody prayed in the Spirit. Well, there was a couple of people once or twice a year that would pray in the Spirit. Why is it so awkward in here tonight? There were a couple of people that had a liberty. One of them was my aunt. She's since passed on. We would have a prayer meeting at the church, and every now and then the Spirit of God would come on her, and she'd begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what it was as a kid. Me and my cousin, who was 6 months younger than me, we'd just be like, we're going to move back 2 rows because something came on her. Didn't understand it. I didn't know she was giving way to the river. That was it. But it was so sporadic and it was so far removed between each other that we would have prayer meetings and people would try to pray and we'd come in and we'd say a lot of hallelujahs and a lot of love you Jesuses, and we said a lot of things, and I'm not saying that they weren't effective, but there was no liberty in our lives to allow the river to flow out of us, to tap into that flow, to give way to that flow. When God began, I still remember the day that I went home from a meeting. And I remember driving home from this building late on a Sunday night, drove home, got up the next morning from my house. I lived about a block from the church at the time, and I remember walking to the church, unlocking the front door, going inside, and laying face down on a chair that looked a lot like this, connected just like this, I laid down on that chair. And for the first time in my life, I opened up my mouth and I just began to give way to the flow of the Holy Ghost. It was awkward. And there was every voice in the world inside my head saying, "You're an idiot. If you think this is real, you've lost it." And I remember pushing that out. And I remember laying there, and there was nobody else there. Thank God. It was just me, the chair pad, and him. And I didn't care what it sounded like. I didn't care how awkward it seemed to me, because it was just me and him. And I pushed those voices out, and I just began to yield myself. And I remember that for the first time in my life, for the first time in my life, at almost 25 years old, I had to get up from a prayer meeting because I had to go to work. Prayer sessions that could barely last 15 minutes. Couldn't muster up 15 minutes worth of prayer. I'm talking about raised in church. Dad was a pastor. Couldn't muster up 15 minutes worth of prayer. And I'd struggle and sit there and, you know, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't have any understanding. And for the first time, 30 minutes went by and 40 minutes went by. And I got up and I thought, what in the world just happened? It was a week later. That happened every morning of the week. 6 days straight. On the seventh day, I showed up to church Sunday morning, walked into the building. I led worship on Sunday mornings. I walked in, grabbed the mic, started leading worship. Worship went on. We got done. People came to me afterwards. What in the world happened to you? What? What happened? Man, you don't even look like the same person. You don't even talk like the same. You don't act like the same person. I don't know. It took a couple days for me to realize that it was connected to the flow that I had found a liberty in. That was the change. Now, through the years, since 2004, 2005, God has continued to add layers and dimensions to that revelation and understanding. To where the majority, to the vast majority of us in this room, almost everybody in this room, there's such a liberty here. If I said we need to pray right now, you just enter into prayer. You don't even think about it. Praying in English, praying in the Spirit, praying, taking authority over things, binding, loosing. You don't even think about it. But Kendrick, can you go back to Matthew chapter 6? Or I'm sorry, Sergi's back there. Matthew chapter 6. That's a dimension of prayer. That's kingdom praying. Everybody say kingdom praying. We read a scripture on Sunday in Romans chapter 8. I'm not going to make them go there on the screen, but the scripture says that ye know not what to pray for as ye ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The next verse says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth. Everybody say knoweth. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. When I'm praying in the Spirit, when I'm giving way to the river of living water, when I step into that flow, I am praying what is the mind of the Spirit. I'm literally allowing the Spirit of God to be prayed through me. And so I can be, you know, I can have a million things on my mind. I can come into a prayer room. And if you're a parent or you've lived more than 10 years, 20 years, you've got things to pray about. There's a big list. I got family members that are a wreck and a mess. I've got situations personally in life that I'm dealing with that are messes. I've got situations on my job that are messes. And I got all these things going around, and I got a lot of stuff to pray about.
We'll get the whiteboard out here tonight. We can probably fill it.
We should, maybe one of these days we should do that. We should have some big, big, big post-it notes. We should just make a prayer list around this place. You can fill the whole thing just to prove that we've got a lot of things to pray about. I can spend a lot of time, if the Holy Ghost lets me, calling out names and praying for individuals and praying for situations. Or when I come into my prayer closet as we're getting ready to meet, read in Matthew chapter 6, and I shut the door and I begin to pray and I begin to let the Spirit of God flow through me, in that moment I begin to pray the perfect will of God. See, in my limited understanding, I can, you know, I know a few things about Brother Chamberlain. A few things. I don't know a lot of things, but I know a few things. And so I can pray, Oh, Lord, bless my brother. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help him. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would, give him a job. Hallelujah. I pray that you would do this. I pray that you would, and that's good. Does God know him better than me? Of course he does. He knows every single detail about him. And if the Lord puts him on my heart, or Brother Chamberlain's come to me and said, if you could pray for me, that'd be great. Pray for me this week. I'm going through some things, or I'm getting ready to do this, or I need some prayer. I will call out his name before, Lord, I pray for Brother Chamberlain right now. And I begin to enter into a flow of the Spirit. And I begin to let the Spirit of God pray through. It's called intercession. The Spirit of God pray through me for him. He who knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. I can pray about the surface things I know about him. You know, there's this fine line in our prayer corporately here. This fine line. You know, if you have a prayer request, step out on the aisle. Those are inspiration moments. Raise your hand. If you got a prayer request, raise your hand, you know. Anybody ever heard of a special unspoken request? I want prayer, but I don't want to tell anybody what it's for. Ain't saying that out loud in the church. Right? God bless those folks. There's something you wish stayed unspoken, but they say them out loud anyway. But we step out in the aisle and we raise our hands. And there's this fine line of stopping somebody and saying, okay, hey, what do you need prayer for today? Now, if the Holy Ghost prompts me to do that, I'm going to do that. What do you need prayer for today? Or I can walk up to my brother and know that the Holy Ghost knows why he stepped out in the aisle. And I've got the Holy Ghost. And so I can let the Holy Ghost pray through me for my brother for whatever need it is he stepped out in the aisle about. Here's why that's a struggle for us. That takes faith on my part. It's easy for me to say, my cat died. Oh, Jesus, I pray for brother. I've got a cold. Oh, we take authority over this cold in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, there's times the Holy Ghost prompts me to ask somebody, what do you need prayer about? Because I want to speak to the mountain. You know, you got to know that. When the Holy Ghost prompts you, you need to ask them what they need prayer about. Because I want to address something. You got to be sensitive to that. But it takes faith on my part to trust that the Spirit of God that I'm filled with knows exactly what to pray for. I don't know. I don't even have to know. You know, I pray for a lot of you on a daily basis, and I don't even know what's going on in your lives. I don't need to know. He knows. Father, they're in your hands. You know what they're facing today. You know what they're facing this week. You know what they are about to go through. You know it perfectly. It takes faith. Take that a step further into our personal prayer time. Do you have enough faith tonight to believe that when you hit your knees in prayer, or you're driving down the road in your car, or you're riding the bus, or you're in your office and you begin to pray, do you have enough faith to believe that when you open your mouth and you begin to pray in the Spirit, that God knows exactly what it is that you have need of? You have enough faith to believe that? I don't always know how to pray for even my own situations. Sometimes they're so convoluted and so complicated. All I can say is, Jesus! That's all I have to say. If I tried to explain it to the Lord, I'd get so twisted up and tongue-tied. And I just, it's not worth it. I don't have the energy. You know, Father, you see everything. I trust you right now. Your spirit knows in this moment. Somebody ought to lift their hands right now and just enter into that flow for your own situation, for your own circumstances, for your own family, for things that you're facing in your life right now. Exercise some faith. Trust that He knows. He knows exactly what you have need of before you even ask Him. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. When I do pray with my understanding. Jesus said, we read it last Wednesday night, so I'm not going to read it again, but He said, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And He literally says in verse 8, your heavenly Father knows what ye have need of before you ask Him. When you pray, this is how you ought to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Was anybody here in the room when we did 6 months of spiritual warfare praying in the night? Was there a few? This was revelation that God gave us together as a group. This prayer right here, this scriptural-based prayer has single-handedly changed my life almost as much, maybe not quite as much, but just about as much as me finding a flow in the Holy Ghost and a liberty in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Spirit in my personal prayer time. This structure right here. After this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven. I start my day off from the moment I get out of bed, whether I've got 20 minutes to spend in prayer or an hour to spend in prayer, I start my day off by declaring Him my Father. I declare you my Father in heaven, because I said it 2 Sundays ago, by declaring Him my Father in heaven, I'm declaring my sonship. And we don't got time tonight to get into what it means to walk in sonship. But by declaring Him my Father, I'm declaring Him my sonship. Hallowed be thy name. I start declaring His name. I pray every day. I pray the establishment of the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. I walk to the front windows of my house and I look up and down the street and I pray it over every house. I pray, let the power of your name be established. Let the power of your name, let the authority of the name of Jesus be established on this street. There's some crazy people in my neighborhood. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I go right into praying the kingdom. I declare your kingdom and its establishment in my life. I declare it in my home. I love praying at my house because I love declaring the kingdom of God in my house. I love declaring its establishment in my children's lives. I call them by name. I pray it in Hadley's life. I pray the establishment of your kingdom in Parker's life. And I pray the establishment of your kingdom in Bennett's life. I pray it over my wife. I pray it up and down this street. This street is a representation of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. You know how many kingdoms try to, just the next door neighbor's got some little kingdom going on. Whatever he plays all hours of the night, whatever video games he's playing online, there's some kingdom that he's fellowshipping. There's some kingdom that's establishing itself. Not in my house. Your kingdom be established at 111 Weaver Street Northeast in Jesus' name. I declare it. I'm telling you, if you begin to pray this way, you can't help when you begin to declare these things, but to allow that flow to begin to pour out of you. It just happens. You know. Now, if you If you pray this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, that we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom of glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's fine.
Or you can let the Holy Ghost lead you through this prayer. Let him lead you to things to pray about. I'm telling you, go home tonight, begin to pray this tomorrow morning, pray it tomorrow while you're at work, and just see what comes to you, what inspiration comes to you as you begin to pray these things. It'll blow your mind. The things you begin to take authority over, the things that you begin to bind on earth, the things that you begin to declare to be loosed on earth, because his kingdom is coming in the earth. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done in my life. I declare it in this house. Your will be done today in my life. Oh, you'll love this. I don't think my coworkers listen to the recording, so this is okay. I declare the establishment of his kingdom in my office. They don't even have a clue. There's so many egos, so much pride, so much garbage that you got to try to work through and walk through and talk through and put up with. They don't even know that at times things get a little tussly in the office. You know, people start turning on each other and there's all the inner office drama. I know that doesn't happen anywhere else, just in my office. All the drama and all the junk. I don't get caught up in that stuff because I realize there's kingdoms at war here. I got up this morning and I declared that this is the Lord's territory. The kingdom of God is established down here in South or North Kent. This is God's kingdom. Kingdom of homosexuality, well, you know, you got a battle on your hands. Kingdom of fornication, you got a fight on your hands. Kingdom of adultery in that corner, you got a fight on your hands because his kingdom, when I walked in here, his kingdom is established. I staked a flag this morning in prayer in Jesus' name. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You know what I have need of, Father. Are you convinced of that? I mean that with all sincerity. He knows what you have need of. He knows every sparrow that falls. He knows he's got the hairs of your head numbered. He knows what you have need of. He's not withholding things from you. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I can spend hours here every morning. It's another Bible lesson for another night. If you need the forgiveness, you have to learn to forgive. Sometimes you have to call them out by name. Father, I forgive them. They've hurt me. They're hurting me. They're going to continue to hurt me. I forgive them. And I forgive them because I need you to forgive me this morning. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture says, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. It also says that he won't put more on us than we're able to bear, but that he will with every temptation provide a way of escape. Father, give me the grace today to overcome every temptation. And then you end it with, this all belongs to you. You get all the glory. You get all the praise. There isn't anything about this that has anything to do with me. Let's stand together tonight. Father, we desire your inspiration, your utterance to flow through our lives, to flow through our daily prayer lives. I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, over every hungry vessel in the room right now, I pray by the power of your spirit, let something be stirred.
within them. Let something be stirred within them tonight, Father. A passion to pursue you. A passion to call upon you, Father. In the name of Jesus, let a spirit of prayer overtake us, Father. Let us yield ourselves to the drawing of your spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. See, if it's just an emotional thing for us, then we have to be in an emotionally charged atmosphere to feel like getting somewhere, something's happening. I never forget Brother Berglund talking about praying people through the Holy Ghost in a cubicle at Microsoft, an office. They probably weren't standing up with their hands raised shouting, and you didn't have a CD playing in the background with some shout music. Just a roll of toilet paper. It's the Spirit of God. It's not the emotion of God. It's the Spirit of God. And that's why I can tap into it anytime, anywhere, and I can lead other people to that place. I'll tell you, most people don't understand our emotion. Foreign to them. You come from a Catholic church, you come from a Lutheran church, and you have these crazy Pentecostals clapping their hands and jumping over pews and shouting and speaking in tongues, like, whoa, 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 whoa. Come on, join us. Is the door locked? That's why it's important for us to have the understanding and to impart, with the help of the Holy Ghost, understanding. How to pray, how to touch God, how to establish that daily discipline, those spiritual disciplines in our lives. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I'll see you back here on Sunday.